The wonderful Mary Wells, that's Two Lovers, one of the great songs of all time, in my estimation. Born on this day in 1943, happy birthday, Mary Wells. We're now about to be joined by Blair DeRoche Walther, who has made this film, Coming to Baltimore, Out in the Night, which is a very powerful story. Well, I'll let her begin. Blair, welcome. Good to have you here.
Yes.
Oh, good. We got you. Good. So I was worried for a moment. Thought we'd lost you. So you had it, before we talk about where the film's going to be, I think that most people, if you don't watch real conservative television that gave all this fear about lesbian gangs attacking people in the streets, don't know what this is about and know who the New Jersey Four were. So tell us a story, and then we can talk about how you got involved in it.
Okay. Yes, yeah, so in 2006, August of 2006, there are seven black lesbians who were attacked in the West Village of New York City. They defended themselves. There were many people on the street that jumped in clear defense of them. Much of the fight was caught on nearby surveillance cameras. And the women were charged and convicted with varying degrees of assault, gang assault, and murder. Three of the women pled guilty and did 6 months and were released, and then four pled not guilty, and those are the four that I focus on in the film. But by pleading not guilty, they received 3.5, 5, 8, and 11 years of prison. They had never been in trouble with the law before, and they were all in their late teens. And the media immediately pounced on them, calling them a gang of killer lesbians, an attack of the killer lesbians. Bill O'Reilly did 3 episodes on lesbian gangs taking over the U.S. based on this case.
I know. I remember that all too well, unfortunately. I didn't watch much of it because I couldn't stomach it, but I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's who they are.
So, and these young women now, what are their names?
Renata Hill, Patrice Johnson, Trine Dandridge, and Venice Brown. Those are the four that pled not guilty.
And those are the ones who are imprisoned.
Yes, yes.
So this film that you talk about what you did, how you got involved in this, and why.
So I got involved pretty much the day after the assault happened. Like I said, the media attention was very immediate from the Daily News and New York Post and the New York Times. And it was really the New York Times article the next day titled "Man is Stabbed After Admiring a Stranger" that really got to me, because it was written by two female journalists who clearly could not identify with the women in any way. And that really hit me, because I didn't think, had the women been white, that these women, that these journalists would have called this man an admirer. I've never met a woman who hasn't experienced sexual harassment in some way, especially in New York City. So it was really that article. I became invested in the case as an activist. My background's in film, but I initially didn't want to tell the story as a film. I didn't think that a white director should. And then in 2008, so I was an activist for about 1.5 to 2 years. And then in 2008, when their appeals were approaching, I started rethinking about it as a film, because the media attention had really died down. And I approached them, went to visit them in prison, approached the family members and their attorneys to see if there'd be interest in the film, if there was interest in me being the director. And we started this long process of getting to know each other and kind of interviewing each other to see if we'd be a good fit.
So I want to play. We have the trailer ready to play. I'd like people to hear the trailer, then come back to our conversation, and talk about what you'll be doing this weekend, and where the state of their cases are, and for the chance of these women getting out of prison. So 410-319-8888. If you can join us, and we'll join us. And here is the trailer to the film we're talking about, Out in the Night.
Mommy, can you do me a big favor? If somebody tries to fight you, can you walk away from it now, and you get to keep everything that's important to you? And if you don't, if you fight them, everything that's important get taken away from you.
Just a real nasty gang assault, 7-on-1.
When we would have chose to call 911 instead of defending ourselves, one of us would be dead.
And he pointed at my lower area and he said, I want that.
In the DA's version, he nearly said hi to the women as they walked by.
He started calling us dyke bitches, lesbian bitches, our street. Every time we tried to walk away, he kept on pursuing us and pursuing us. When I got sentenced, he said that he was sentencing me because I testified falsely. And my lawyer actually had to stand up and say, Your Honor, she never testified.
There is the historical emergence of self-defense within the context of movements for justice and for freedom.
You either assent to the homophobia of everyday culture, or you figure out a way to speak out, to resist.
I'm not pleading guilty. Let the people judge you.
Very powerful trailer. I'm sure the film is equally as powerful. How long have these women been in prison now?
So they're all out of prison now.
They're all out of prison now?
Yes. So Train, who was in sentenced initially to 3.5 years, she's the only one who had her appeals dismissed, and she was released 2 years after serving 2 years in prison. So that was 2008. And then So Venice and Renata, Venice is sentenced to 5 years and Renata 8 years. And Venice ended up taking a plea deal through her appeals and was released after 2 years in prison. Renata was given 3.5 years on a plea deal through her appeals. So they were all released in 2008 and 2009. And then Patrice, who was initially sentenced to 11 years, her sentence was reduced to 8 years. So she was released in 2013.
So essentially all these women still carry the stigma or the weight of being guilty.
Yes, I mean, they still have a violent felony, a gang assault charge on their record.
So I'm curious, you know, I've read a little bit about the case, and I've actually not thought about it for a long time until it came to my attention that you all were coming to Baltimore. My producers gave me some things to read about it, because I've not seen the film. But clearly in this film, you have a point of view. This is not like this kind of whatever objective means. Look at the case. You're looking at this case with the idea that these women were sent to prison because they were lesbian, because the way the media sentiment was against them and how they were railroaded. And you think these women were attacked and they did not do the attacking, correct?
I don't know how I wouldn't quite characterize it that way. I mean, clearly I have a point of view. I have a vested interest in the right to self-defense for everybody, including women, black women, and gender nonconforming women. I don't know that anybody makes a documentary and is completely objective. Every single thing in the film is based on fact. I mean, everything is fact checked by multiple sources. Of, you know, I was in the courtroom during their trials, during their appeals, during their civil suit. I've read through their transcripts many times, filed 3 different Freedom of Information Act requests, and everything we've received is verified by the court that's in the film. Clearly, I focus on the women because I was only concerned with their perspective. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the way we tell the story, we tell the story of the fight twice. We tell it through courtroom transcripts and kind of, I guess, legal documents. And then we tell it again through the perspective of the women and the man's voice. We use his testimony and things that he's written. So we kind of have this personal perspective from both of them and then more of a legal perspective.
And, I mean,
so I would just say that I think objectivity is a bit of a disingenuous term when applied.
Yes, no. I don't disagree. I wasn't saying that for that reason. I mean, because I when I ever question about the media and objectivity, I think objectivity is just absurd notion that it came out of the 1950s when everybody doing the news was white men and everybody, you could be objective, but now I totally agree. I was just trying to get to the just how you approach this film. So do you think that with the film you made and you're touring it around the country, bringing it to Baltimore here to the Creative Alliance this Saturday evening at 5, do you think that that you're trying to, people are trying to have an effect to overturn their convictions? What's happening with that?
Yeah, I don't think that. I mean, I initially did start the film thinking that I could, quote unquote, prove their innocence and get them released from prison. And I very quickly found out that self-defense is incredibly difficult to prove.
Yes,
in
it is.
A court case. I don't know that there is any realistic chance that they can have the convictions overturned unless there's some major public outcry over the case, or unless a politician wants to get involved and try to overturn it. But because only one of the seven now had their charges dismissed, the rest, the appellate court didn't change their convictions. And then the man actually ended up suing each of the women, and two of them had to settle the lawsuit since their appeals weren't successful. So I don't know that there's anything legally that can be done. I mean, we introduced some new evidence in the film, and we've looked into could that new evidence overturn their convictions, and it's so far proven fruitless.
Well, this sounds like a really powerful film, and I would look forward to seeing the entire film. And I've read a lot about it, and I've only seen this trailer, but it's an important case. I think it's one of the people need to understand that happens in our society. It happens all the time, every day. And I'm glad that you took the time and power to make this film. We've been talking with Blair DeRoche-Walther, who directed Out of the Night, and Out of the Night will show Saturday evening at 5 p.m. at the Baltimore Creative Alliance. It's part of the 4th Annual Charm City LGBTQA Film Festival. More information, you can go to creativealliance.org for ticket information and more, and coming to see this film. And Blair will be here with the film to be discussing. Okay. You will not be?
Actually, Renata and Patrice, two of the women in the film, will be there. I won't be there.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's very interesting.
They will be
okay.
There.
All right, great.
Yeah.
Great. Good. Good. No, that's wonderful. So and that could be a powerful evening to hear the two of them speak about their own lives and what happened. So that was good. So Blair DeRoche-Walther, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for making this film, and I encourage people to take part in the LGBTQA Film Festival at the Creative Alliance and see this film and talk with two of the women who are subject to this film. Blair, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a very, very short break and come back. It's time for us to talk to Baynard Woods and see what's going on with the Baltimore City Paper this week.